Acts chapter 17 and verse 26. I entitled my message this morning, Why? Oftentimes when you say something to a child or a teenager, they show their immaturity by saying, why? But today, I'm the one that would like to ask the question, why? Why do we need Bible Baptist Church? And why did we ever start it? When we started 25 years ago, churches treated Spanish-speaking with a prejudice. I was told by one pastor, we want them as members, we want them to give and to tithe, but they're not allowed to vote. Blacks and Jewish people, and since I'm Jewish, I especially feel that, were treated with disdain. Blacks were said to be the product of the curse of Ham. But my Bible tells me in Acts chapter 17, in verse 26, it says, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. I felt and I still feel that the church is no place for prejudice. We all descended from a literal Noah and from one of his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Genesis 9, 18 to 19, and the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. They were triplet sons, and I'm sure glad that I descended not only from one of them, but the better looking of them. They were triplet sons, because Genesis 5:32 says, and Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. In the second place, we started Bible Baptist Church as a voice against compromise and apostasy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. I'm going to read 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5, and I'll quit with verse 5. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. You know, folks, we are in those days when the world appreciates everything else but not the gospel. When even Christians have forgotten what it means to love God more than anything and to give their lives as a living sacrifice to Jesus Christ. In the third place, we were founded to provide a place of service where we could use all of our talents to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 31 to 32. I'll begin in the middle of verse 31. Whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. In the fourth place, we were founded to train others to serve God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. It is a marvel to me how some people try to twist these verses here to say that all we should have is one-on-one discipleship. But the verse itself denies that. It says that we are to teach others, which is in the plural, as we heard from what was taught from among many witnesses. When the Apostle Paul taught men, he taught them in plural and he taught them publicly. What we as a church were founded to do was to teach the Word of God. In the fifth place, we were founded as a church to teach and maintain the purity of the gospel, and to use it to evangelize. We are to teach the gospel, Matthew 28, 19 and 20 says. So Matthew 28, 19 and 20 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now you notice that it says baptizing and then afterward, after baptizing, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The purity of the gospel is something that God calls on us to maintain. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. I was looking on another church's website, not too far from us. And on his website, he started out by saying repentance, which is a deep sorrow for all of your sins. And then he followed it with belief in the gospel, which he said was changing your direction toward God. And then he said, in the third place, it was opening your heart and receiving Christ. And then in the fourth place, receiving Christ. The fourth one was opening your heart, letting Christ in. He had four different things that were necessary for salvation. It's funny that the Apostle Paul never got a hold of that when he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Evangelism. It's not enough, folks, that we know the gospel. We have to share the gospel. We must be responsible to getting the gospel out to others. We as a church were not started so that we could all get together and rejoice about the fact that God saved us. There are others in the world that need the gospel as well. It's not enough that we should just rejoice together about our own salvation. When we've been given a job to take the gospel to others also, the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. On our 25th anniversary, kids, let me speak to you for just a moment. Those of us that are old people, whose time may be past, but I look at you kids and I think no greater joy could ever be in the heart of your pastor than to see you stand up someday, maybe today, and say, I want to serve Christ. I want to serve him above all things else. I don't care that the world may think that serving yourself and living for pleasure and living for money and so forth may be the end of all things to the people in this world. But as a church, I want you to know, and as your pastor, there is nothing greater than serving Christ. That's my heart's desire. I would love to see the day that we, as the old people in the church, have to sacrifice to see your bills paid, that you could take the gospel to somewhere else, to people that so desperately need it. Let's pray.